At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Now, the Electoral Commission at the time of writing had finally put the Australian Democrats out of their misery. It is officially an ex-party. It is deceased. Do we need another one?
Well, I'm not sure we need another one like that. I mean, the voters decide in the end, don't they? And third parties are a very interesting phenomena. You know, they thrive for a while and then they can disappear quite quickly. That's just a phenomenon. It's just part of the way of life. I mean, I don't think anybody really expected the Democrats ever to form government, did they? They always voted for them as the none of the above party. But if they've got other options, they might choose to go with them. And that's exactly, I think, what saw the Democrats' demise in the end.
Yeah, although I remember them as being a bit more serious about the business of actually governing than the Greens. I remember talking to a Greens senator years ago, and I said in my innocent way, well, what's your alternative? And she was shocked and surprised and said, it's not up to us to come up with an alternative.
Yeah, well, that's the thing about the Democrats. They did try to be fair dealers in government. You remember, of course, when Howard was in government, on several major policy issues, they did deals with the government, GST being the one we remember, but, of course, the sale of Telstra and other things where they couldn't get Labor support. And the Democrats would often modify the policy. You know, I think the fact that we don't have GST on fresh food, for instance, is because of the Democrats.
It is, yeah.
But they would play along, which is good if you're a Democrat and you just want to make the policy a little bit better as you see it, that's good. But the problem is, I think you tend, if you're not careful, to take on the smell of the government, and voters can punish you for that. They sort of like their third parties to be pure sometimes, don't they?
That's exactly right. In fact, once again, I remember somebody years ago saying to me, this is when Labor was in power. Oh, I'm so sick of my Labor Party friends, she said. They're saying, I almost wish we weren't in power. That way we wouldn't have to compromise our principles.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, what do they say? Certainly the impotent are pure. But it's true, isn't it? And I think this is where the Greens, I think, played it very well with Julia Gillard. Do you remember they did enter into a sort of a formal coalition with the Gillard government, but they refused the offer. I think there was an offer there that they may have had a cabinet post or two, or at least some position in the government. They didn't want it. And the reason they didn't was because if things went wrong, they wouldn't have to carry the taint of the government. And that's what happened. The government didn't do too well, but the Greens escaped pretty much unscathed. Unlike the Liberal Democrats in Britain, of course, who've now been punished very heavily in the election. And that is due to the fact, I think most people say, because they worked in coalition with the Conservatives and really lost their purity.
Yeah, I can see that. See, as you say, there are no shades of grey in identity politics. What is it you say about the Greens? Yeah, they're squawking Indian minor birds.
That's right. You either wear the wristband or you don't.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the way modern politics is shaping up to be. You know, people take these absolute moral positions and they refuse to compromise. And this, of course, is problematic for good government because in the end, you know, you do have to compromise if you want to carry the parliament with you, let alone the country. So, you know, I see this as quite a worrying trend, really, that you now have these people that go into politics with a fixed position on X and won't compromise whatever, because sometimes you have to. Democracy's like that.
Well, as you point out, a Senate candidate in Queanbeyan needs 625,000 votes after preference distribution to win election. If they're 15 kilometres down the road in the ACT, 82,000 votes would get them across the line. And the difference between the situation in the recent elections in the UK and here is you can take your absolute position, you can get a lot of votes, as UKIP did, but you still don't get, well, too many people. I think they got one in the parliament. But what's happened here, of course, and I used to be a big supporter of preferential voting, I just think it's past its use-by date because of the way it's being exploited. What do you think?
Well, I think in the House of Representatives it works pretty well.
Yeah.
I think in the Senate there are enormous problems. Yeah, one problem is that people game the system and they enter into all these alliances. So you end up getting, you know, people like the Motoring Enthusiasts Party elected Ricky Muir with only a tiny fraction of the vote. You know, because they've done a deal. That I don't think is democratic. But the other thing that I don't think is democratic about the Senate really is the way they've taken on this role, I guess since 1975, really, and Malcolm Fraser, of seeing their business as blocking the elected government of the day. You know, they're like an alternative power base to the House of Representatives. I don't think the Senate was ever designed for that purpose. It was always a House of Review. You know,
that's what they told us at school. They said the Senate is the House of Review.
Yeah, but you get a situation now where, you know, theoretically the vote of one person, let's say Glenn Lazarus, for instance, could block, you know, higher education reforms that that almost every vice-chancellor wants, that the majority of people in the House of Representatives wants, and they can be blocked by this ex, you know, rugby league player, you know, who has really not really a representative vote at all. So I think that there are two problems with the Senate. One is that preferential voting, and maybe we need optional preferential voting, but the other, I think, is just the hubris of the Senate itself. You know, it's got to know its place, I think.
So what's the takeaway from this? And, of course, Lazarus is totally going his own way, by the way. I mean, if there was a real disappointment in the recent elections, it's got to be the Palmer United Party. I mean, United is, you know, talk about heavy irony.
United, see you in court. You
know, yes.
Palmer's now talking about suing some of his members for breach of promise. Well, you know, if breach of promise in politics was something you could sue over, we'd have a lot of court cases, wouldn't we, Mike?
The lawyers would look forward to that, yes.
There is, yeah. And you know, old hands, I've spoken to old Howard cabinet members, and they say, oh, you know, it was just as bad in our day. I'm not really sure it was. You know, I think you could get the Democrats to deal. You could get Brian Harradine, remember the grumpy old independent from Tasmania. Well, you knew what he wanted and you could do a deal with him. But, you know, with this fractured sort of balkanised Senate, I'm not quite sure you can do a deal with anybody at the moment.
So what's the takeaway here? What do we need? What should we be doing instead?
Well, I think we need Senate reform the optional preferential voting would be one thing they could introduce quite quickly, but that will require bipartisan support from Labour of the coalition. And Labour, in their present frame of mind, I'm not sure will agree to it. You know, they just want to be as awkward as possible. So I fear we're going to have this system here for a few years yet. You know, I just hope that we can get some discipline into the Senate and some of these new members can learn that, actually, you know, it does work out better if they actually are cooperative and play properly in the Senate instead of just blocking everything.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.